COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at everything weird and wonderful, strange and supernatural. With me, Robin, today are Martin.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Good morning, Martin. I'm very well, thank you. And Alex.
Hello there, Robin.
Hello there.
Good to be back. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. I am thrilled by some reviews we've been getting on Apple Podcasts.
They've been really
absolutely
nice, haven't
amazing.
They?
Yeah, in fact, there's one here, a fully written review by Foxy Things.
Good name.
5 stars, which
what?
Is astonishing.
What's out of?
We don't deserve
five,
that.
What's out of? Yeah, it's out of 30. Foxy Things says, I really enjoy this podcast. The guys have a natural and easy way of chatting while getting all the relevant details across. It's like being in the pub while good friends chat. It's an engaging style. I've learned a lot over the time listening and also from the equally great YouTube channel this podcast started from. Oh, I watch the YouTube as well. That's amazing.
Are they sure they're watching the right podcast?
The quiz is also good fun. Love all the different buzzers. Quality stuff. Keep it up.
Oh, that's really
quite,
nice.
That's quite an expansive review.
Very,
and I've got another one, actually, from Fueled by Mikey. It's also a good name.
It's a good name.
And it's titled The Best Podcast Out There, which I think is a bit of a stretch.
You
know, I haven't listened to Serial. but it says, this is by far the best podcast available.
Wow.
It's very interesting, very insightful, and also funny. The guys have a gift for telling stories and manage to throw in a few little jokes at the same time, which is great. Keep it up, guys. I always look forward to your new episodes.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice.
So thank you, probably Mikey. I assume that's probably your name. Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you. Those are both wonderful. We don't deserve them.
And if you do want to rate us on Apple Podcasts, then please go over and give us a rating. It really does help. And you never know, we might read them out next week.
Mm.
Actually, no, we won't. Not next week.
Yes,
no,
which we need to talk about.
Yeah,
we do. We try to bring this podcast to you every single week, but next week, as you may know, is Easter week, and some of us are swanning off to go sun ourselves in rainy hills in England, and others of us are just busy. It's Easter. It's pretty busy. So we will sadly be not providing a full podcast next week, but we'll try to do something for you. Particularly our Patreon supporters, who are wonderful people and whose names you can see on screen right now if you're watching us on YouTube. And Martin, we've got something else for them, haven't we?
Well, yeah, we've actually revamped our Patreon, and I'm sure there'll be a bit more of a expansive video on this in the coming weeks, probably.
Very soon.
But the tiers have changed. We're trying to basically offer our Patreon supporters and you guys the best value, really.
Yeah.
That's what I say. So we've revamped it so you can get tiers with exclusive merchandise, which is of limited availability.
Yep.
For you to get Robin to record you an exclusive message, to have your own All Time Conspiracies logo created and then being put on our banner. So there's loads of cool stuff, including exclusive podcast episodes as well.
And there'll be some really cool wallpapers and graphics that we've got a graphic designer, Dan the designer,
yeah,
to make. And the ones I've seen so far look really good.
Yeah.
So. I'm really excited to see the final ones.
So I think our Patreon page has already been revamped, hasn't it, Martin?
It has, yeah. It's been redone.
Like I said, we'll have a video going out soon on YouTube explaining what the new Patreon tiers and goals are.
Yeah, and if you want to check it out, there'll be a card on YouTube up above and a link in the description as well. So.
Yeah. But in the meantime, let's get on with this week's topics.
Indeed.
Martin has prepared a story for us.
I have a story from the 1940s, in fact.
Whoa.
A mystery.
Okay.
Now, Alex, I know, speaking to you briefly before we started, you've heard of this before, but Robin, I'm not sure you have, so it might be something new for you.
Ooh,
which is always interesting.
I do like the new things.
And it's a tale of a rather sad Christmas Eve.
Oh,
that's where we start.
That's not so.
So, December 24th, 1945. A fire destroyed the Sodder family home in Fayetteville, West Virginia. Probably said that wrong. George Sodder, his wife Jenny, and 9 of their 10 children lived in the house at the time of the fire. During the fire, George, Jenny, and 4 of the 9 children escaped.
Oh.
However, the bodies of the other 5 children have supposedly never been found.
Ah, that's really sad.
Yeah, really sad.
So, what happened to these children? Or, maybe more accurately, who started the devastating fire?
What?
So the Sodder family were enjoying a cozy Christmas Eve together. Marion, one of the elder sisters, had brought home new toys for her younger siblings, Martha, Jenny, Betty, and Maurice. And they, all the younger children, have asked if they could stay up later on Christmas Eve and to play with their new toys. And their mother, Jenny, agreed.
Oh.
But at 12:30 a.m., the phone rang. Jenny woke up and she went downstairs to answer it. And it was a woman whose voice she didn't recognize. And she was asking for a name she was not familiar with. And there was the sound of laughter and clinking glasses in the background. So,
could,
you know, could just be
a prank call. Yeah.
Could be a prank call. Could be someone ringing the wrong number on Christmas Eve, clinking glasses.
Yeah. So there's exactly like a party or something going on in the background. Is that kind of the implication?
Exactly. But odd that it's at 12:30 a.m. on Christmas morning. It's still quite late.
It's quite late,
Maybe someone's called up to wish Happy Christmas and got the wrong number, maybe. Al Coffield. But she later recalled the woman having a weird laugh. So just something to bear in mind of who that might have been. So she noticed when she was downstairs that the lights were on and the curtains were open, but just assumed that the children staying up late had simply gone to bed without turning them off. So Jenny herself just went back to bed. Then around 1 o'clock, Jenny heard a banging sound, like an object hitting the roof and rolling down. So this woke her up. But then she heard nothing else, so as anyone would, she just went back to sleep.
I've seen this movie. This is where Tim Allen becomes Santa Claus, right?
So within the hour, Jenny woke up again to the smell of smoke.
Oh no.
The house was engulfed in flames. George and Jenny called out to their five children, but got no response. George went to get the ladder in an attempt to reach the children as the staircase was already alight. But it was not in its usual place. So had it been removed or moved by someone? Instead, George tried to park both of his two trucks that he had by the wall of the house in order to get into the attic, but neither of the trucks would start.
What?
Had they been sabotaged?
That's really weird.
They, of course, tried phoning the fire service, but the line didn't work.
So this
seems like the worst luck in an awful situation, which you can imagine would just be horrible with the panic.
Yeah.
Or had someone done this?
Man, it sounds like something's gone on.
Mm. So all the family could do was watch as the house burnt to the ground. A passerby did see the fire and eventually did ring the fire service, but it was too late.
Yeah.
Nothing could be salvaged, and the Sodder family thought that five of their children had died in a terrible tragedy.
Oh.
The fire service placed the blame of the disaster on faulty wiring, but most shockingly claimed that no bodies had been found in the charred former family home. So what happened to these bodies? So two questions remained. What was the actual cause of the fire? And where the heck were the missing children?
Yeah.
So there's no way that the fire could have completely, removed any evidence of the bodies, as in completely disintegrated them, you know?
It seems unlikely.
Hmm.
During my research, I don't have it here, but there was talk of the temperatures needed to incinerate a body and how long it takes.
Right.
And it was like, I can't remember the exact degrees, but it was something like 2,500 for 2 hours. Sounds like a recipe, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, God. Oh, dear.
But instead, the bodies have been there at a lot lower temperature for a lot less time, basically.
Right.
That doesn't make it sound any better.
Yeah.
So it seemed unlikely that it would have been able to remove the bodies, especially the bones.
Okay.
Because usually you can get some kind of dental records just to show that someone was like a victim of the fire, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. You'd think so. You think they'd find something.
Yeah. I mean, the house must have been, in order for the bodies to be completely destroyed, the house would have to have been completely destroyed as well. Utterly.
Utterly gone.
That's very true, yeah.
And from pictures, it's burnt down, but it's not.
Yeah, it's still like that classic spooky framework of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mysterious.
Indeed it is. And so in relation to the first question, what was the actual cause? One clue might be a mysterious man who came to the house in the autumn of 1945. So in the fall, an unfamiliar man had stopped by the Sodder house to ask about hauling work. After wandering around the house for some time, he stopped by the fuse boxes in the back and told George Sodder, the father, that they could start a fire someday.
Oh.
So, I mean, could this be him being, you know, being a good citizen and yeah. letting him know about obviously damaged wires? But George thought that it was odd behavior because he'd already requested that the power company come and inspect the house, and they'd said that the wires were in good condition.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, crossed wires there, no pun intended. Very much pun intended.
It's also kind of weird that if the implication is that this man came back later and burnt the house down, why he would send this veiled threat in like the fall, just visit, like that could burn your house down one
there
day.
There might be, Alex, a little bit of a little bit more of a clue as to why that might be the case later on.
Right.
Okay.
So basically the family reflected on the fire after it happened, and they thought that, you know, why, if the fires were faulty, that Jenny would be unlikely to have discovered the lights on an hour beforehand. As in, when the lights have gone off, like if the wires were about to cause a fire, surely there'd be damage to them way in advance of it actually starting the fire. Surely the lights would go off
a
decent amount beforehand. So around this same time, another stranger came to the house. And he was an insurance salesman who visited. And the family declined his offer of insurance, which apparently infuriated the salesman, which, as a salesman, you'd expect most people to reject your door-to-door tactics. But anyway, the salesman told them after they rebuked his... Maybe they were rude to him or something. But he basically said to them, your goddamn house is going up in smoke.
Well, I mean, that's it's pretty clear threat.
Considering what happened...
Yeah.
It's, you know...
What a weird way for a salesman to deal with rejection as well.
I know. That's... Most salesmen are on to the next one. Doesn't matter.
Sounds like it might be a psycho of some kind.
Yeah. Was he a salesman? Was he just going around to threaten them? So this was a mafia? Pretty worrying.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's mafia. Like, what's the they go, insurance is just a front, isn't it?
Oh, the rackets. Protection rackets,
We can stop your house from burning down.
Alex, I think you might be onto something here. Because he added how the children would be destroyed due to George Sodder's public and vehement hatred of Benito Mussolini.
Ooh.
So, George Sodder was an Italian citizen up until the age of around 13, 14, 15. Then he moved over to America.
Okay.
And he wasn't shy in condemning Mussolini, whereas most of the people around that community, Italians who had emigrated, were very much still in favour of the dictator. Really? Yeah. Or the leader of their homeland.
Even though they emigrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're obviously
I love him. Not going back there, but we love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's an absolute mess over there, but he's all right.
So George was from an area called, I'm going to butcher this, but Sardinia.
Yeah,
Sardinia, the English version. An island near Italy, we know, which struggled for independence before the rise of Mussolini. So he had reason for his hatred.
Right.
So others felt this sense of loyalty, whereas George certainly did not. And he was very outspoken about his dislike of the dictator, which apparently caused him a few enemies in the local community. So after the fire, some began to theorize about how the Italian mafia, well done, Alex, might have kidnapped or killed the Sodder children in revenge.
Mm. Oh, revenge for just having an opinion. Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence of this, though?
So this is a theory.
Yeah.
So there's not strong evidence. But as we come on to, were the children later reported alive? Like, were they seen? Ooh, which could have suggested that they might have actually escaped. So, reports of people having seen the young sodders, that sounds...
after the fire. Young sodomites were bumming each other in the street.
Oh, dear. We're going to have to cut that out.
So, there were reports of people having seen the young sodders after the fire... So there were reports of people having actually seen the children after the fire, which fueled the kidnapping theory. So one of the first stories came from a woman in Charleston, South Carolina, who claimed she saw four of the children at a hotel with four unfamiliar adults of all of Italian descent.
Oh.
Could this have been Mafia? Maybe.
Quick question.
Yes.
Do we know how she would have known what the children looked like?
No, except for the fact that they... this is another point that from research, was that they put up billboards after the children went missing up until 1987, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Looking with the faces of the children.
Yeah.
And so maybe this person might have seen one of these billboards or something in the media of the missing children. It was quite a high-profile case.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they might have... Yeah. A bit like with Madeleine McCann, people theorise about what she might have looked like
now,
later on because, of course... Back then, I'm sure we weren't in such a good position to circulate images via media sources. But still, images gets around.
Yeah, I think the family were pretty sure that they didn't die in the fire. So I think they had like private investigators. And,
they did.
People. Yeah, so I imagine they put up billboards and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, just making sure.
Yeah. Reminded me a little bit of the three billboards in Epping County. You seen that?
I haven't seen it, actually.
Yeah, no, it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking for the awfulness of looking for missing children. Yeah. Great film. So it's a black comedy, so there are some funny, really dark moments, which kind of suits my sense of humour, but it just reminded me of that a little bit. So anyway, so they were looking for these children. And also, a waitress reportedly served the children breakfast about 50 miles away from where the house burnt down. Yet another person claimed to have witnessed the five children in a car as the fire was still burning.
Oh.
So there were reports that the children survived, but none of these were corroborated by anyone else.
Right.
It was all hearsay reports. So nothing concrete.
Mm.
But of course, with the family wanting to keep hope that the children were alive, and the fact that they were told that there was no sign of their bodies.
Mm.
They're going to go on this, aren't they, as evidence?
Yeah.
They're going to follow any leads they can. Of course they are.
Yeah.
So, of course, they never gave up believing the children were alive. And in 1968, the mother, Jenny Sodder, received an envelope in the mail with a note reading, "Lewis Sodder, I love brother Frankie, lil boys," and then some digits. So it's a little bit of an encrypted message, knowing exactly what it means.
Yeah.
But also enclosed was a photo with a striking resemblance to Lewis.
Oh.
Mm. Of an older child.
Weird. Very weird.
Now an adult.
Really strange. Yeah.
So they hired a private investigator to examine the envelope's origins.
Join the Trump Club.
Which actually had a postmark from Kentucky. But nothing came of this. So it almost was a dead end.
Huh.
So after all this time, they were still stuck in limbo, and the children have never been heard or seen of with any kind of concrete evidence again. But unfortunately, according to some reports, the fire chief actually did discover the human remains, but didn't inform the family. And they were later presented with this information about an apparent human heart being found on the property. But the story was never corroborated. And I think they were trying to protect the family as well, being in a small local community.
Right.
So maybe because it was too awful and they didn't want them to see the bodies, what they did is said, "They're not here," which was a mistake, but also led the Sodders for the rest of their life to be chasing this dream of finding their children that maybe was never going to materialize.
That seems mad. Like, I mean, okay, fine. You don't want them, the initial trauma of like, you don't want to say, "Oh, we found them," but you would tell them eventually. You tell them shortly afterwards. Why would they?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
What? Yeah,
they've been searching for years.
It's for years bizarre. And years.
They wouldn't tell them.
That seems pretty unbelievable to me, actually.
So that's the story of the missing Sodder children.
It's really weird.
Still a mystery to this day.
So tragic.
Five children going missing.
What I struggle to get though is that if. So they're trapped upstairs while the fire, the house is burning down, the five children, and they're outside. They can't do anything. They can't get to the attic to rescue them.
Mm.
Surely the children are going to be screaming.
Exactly.
So if they were in the house, surely they would know.
You'd think so. Yeah. I mean, there was reports of one of the elder siblings who survived. I think his name was John, who said that he actually saw some of his siblings in the house at the time of the fire.
Okay.
But then he later retracted that.
And
said that he didn't see them. He just was trying to get to them.
It's funny. It's complicated because I am oddly enough, I did a fire safety training course not too recently.
We are safe in the bunker.
We're safe-ish.
Are there any fire escapes?
No.
If we need to get out in an emergency, we're screwed. We'll just eat you. That's fine.
Any excuse.
Bit of Alex on the barbie, yeah. So I did this fire safety training thing, and actually we were told explicitly that children are the biggest danger during a fire because they literally sleep through anything. They will sleep through smoke alarms, fire alarms, smoke, and heat. They just won't notice.
Blimey.
And I can kind of believe that because growing up, we had an earthquake once, which woke me up. And my brother slept right through it. And he was 5 years younger than me.
Mm.
He still is, in fact. And I remember in the morning asking him, just like, what do you think of the earthquake? And he was like, what earthquake? I was like, you know, the earthquake. It's on the news and everything.
Was that about 2010?
Maybe. I can't remember. It wasn't too long ago.
I don't remember any earthquake.
So I remember being at uni and there was an earthquake. I was at uni in 2010.
Yeah. And it was quite a big one, and he had a dream that a tank was driving through the house.
Oh, what?
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, point is that I can believe that the children wouldn't have been screaming because, especially if they're in the attic and the fire is lower down, they wouldn't notice anything and they wouldn't have had smoke alarms, I assume, back then.
Yeah, true.
So they could have just slept through it.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
conscious because of the smoke inhalation, possibly. Yeah.
Maybe.
On the other hand, like I say, the brother retracting his statement and the fact that the children, the remains probably weren't found, suggests that maybe that person or thing falling off the roof when the ladder was moved was somebody having gone to the attic to smuggle the children out, maybe.
And then starting the fire afterwards.
Yeah.
But then also, likewise, with the screaming children, someone going in and kidnapping 5 children without the parents waking up.
Yeah.
That's also incredibly unbelievable.
It would take a big operation, wouldn't it?
That they didn't make any noise as they were leaving.
But if it's the mafia.
The other thing was the proximity between the object hitting the roof and rolling, which makes me think it could be some kind of propelled.
Right, yeah.
Although, having said that, from Jenny, it didn't sound like whatever the propelled object was smashed. So if it was like a Molotov cocktail, you'd expect it to smash on the roof.
And it wouldn't roll
hitting
down.
Hitting and rolling, yeah. So it's interesting with that kind of description. And then half an hour later, smelling the smoke. I mean, that time frame works. But yeah, interesting that someone... It's whether the children did die in the fire and that was covered up.
I just find it odd that if they survived and they were smuggled away, that they never properly seemed to have got back in touch with the parents. You'd think at some point they would have tried harder. There's that weird cryptic message. But apart from that, even if the mafia have kind of taking them into their own families, you think the kids would want to get in touch with their parents? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they don't remember. Or possibly, you know, they were properly human trafficked and they were sent across the world or something.
Yeah. Another point that I forgot to mention earlier was that, you know, the insurance guy, the crazy guy who said the house would burn down?
Yeah.
He was later on the investigative jury, one of the people who claimed that the fire was an accident. He was on that panel of people investigated afterwards.
Whoa, that is insane.
Sorry,
that sounds like a fix.
But that kind of adds to the mystery.
Oh, man, small world.
I mean, could you have had a situation where there was a local mafia trying to take this, maybe quite vocal, influential person out of the picture?
Possibly
because of
it's an interesting theory.
Anti-Mussolini views.
It's just astonishing, isn't it? But we know the mafia have done all kinds of horrific dirty deeds in the past. So it's plausible.
You think about the ladder going missing, the 2 cars not starting, the phone wire most likely being cut.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like there's so much going on there that makes you think that it definitely wasn't a fault with the electrics.
This
was on purpose.
Could the phone wire have just been affected by
the fire?
The fire itself? Does that necessarily mean that
in the report, there was, it wasn't burnt by the fire. It was actually cut, and the chief, like a smoking gun to me. The chief of police said that someone would have had to have climbed 14 feet up to be able to cut the wire.
Right.
And so you know, it wasn't an accident. Sum of that.
Huh.
That seems to me like it was, that immediately changes this from, it could have been just an accident to something like like an outside party was definitely involved. Yeah. There's no way. If the line was cut, then that's, and we know that, then absolutely, yeah. I don't see what else could have happened.
What about the weird laugh? The woman with the weird laugh?
Oh, yeah.
Any news on that?
Yeah, there wasn't any news on that. My guess is that it was just someone phoning the wrong number.
Hmm.
But it could have been to check that the family were in, potentially.
True.
Phone up, make sure if someone answers, you know that they're there.
They're in.
Yeah.
Good point. And it proves that the phone was working not long before the fire started.
That's a good point. Yeah. And there's no report of it being a particularly windy night in terms of the phone line snapping or anything. So it seems like it was cut. Yeah. It was a freezing night, though.
Yeah, the car's not starting could be because of the cold.
Yeah, the car's not starting because of the cold. And there were also two giant barrels of water that could have been used to extinguish the fire that were frozen over. So they got incredibly unlucky/screwed over.
One thing I would say about the mafia angle wanting to silence this vocal critic, they didn't silence him. As in, he got out of the fire.
Yeah.
Why would they target five of his children as opposed to him himself?
I mean, maybe they targeted the whole family, trying to take them all out, but he survived. Or it could have been a warning sign, not a warning sign, but something that would definitely stop him because he knew then that they would come after the rest of his family and that they were serious.
Yeah, it's a message. And it's not just a message to him, it's a message to anyone else who shares his views, right?
Yeah.
It's like, because if either the family would have all perished in the fire, in which case that's what happens to you, or they survived, but they lost some of their children and their house, in which case that's what happens to you if you step out of line.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Sounds like the mafia operate.
Mm. Sounds like the mafia.
It's horrible. What a horrible thing to go through. Well, I ain't cheering up. We've got any YouTube comments that we'd like to share?
Oh, I don't know if they're going to cheer you up properly. No, thank you for that, Martin. That was a really interesting story.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one, Rich.
Definitely want to dig deeper into that.
I think it would be a good one for the Mystery Files as well, looking at the different pieces of evidence.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Martin.
No,
so, onto the comments.
Okay.
The Cheap Fragrance Enthusiast...
that's their name.
That's their name. Says, try live streaming the podcast. What do you think about that suggestion? Could we ever do that?
It could work.
We could, yeah.
Because it's very rare that we really cut much out of the podcast. It tends to be fairly live, doesn't it?
Unless Robin's eating a donut. What?
I'm having that. Yeah.
Donuts or things that are incredibly inappropriate, which then sometimes get put on the Patreon.
Yes, you may notice the occasional jump cut in the podcast. And it's entirely for, keep the pace up. It's nothing to do with us saying things that really shouldn't be said on air. also, I don't know if anyone at home is a YouTuber or anything like that, but live streams require a little bit of a tricky setup. So I'm not sure we could actually get enough wireless signal down here.
That is the only thing. I've done live streaming before, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there can be some limitations. We could look into it.
Well, think about it, though. Yeah, it's a good suggestion. Mm. Yeah.
So in regards to our last podcast, where we talked about Saint Olga.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Leash B says, I like her. I think burying and burning the messengers alive was a great strategy to show everyone her power. So first of all, I'm not going to invite you to any parties, Leash B. That sounds... sounds terrifying.
Are you part of the mafia? Yeah.
But what do you think from last week? Do you like Olga? Does Olga seem cool to you?
It's so tempting to have an awesome respect for her and think, well done, you owned that. You stated your claim, you made it clear that you were in charge. And there's lots of leaders throughout history who are like that. You're just like, oh yeah, you're a badass. And then you think about all the people who died and all the people who suffered. And it's like, that's not so cool.
That's the thing. History has this almost romantic light upon conquestors and dictators, and because they're such charismatic individuals usually, and they have such great stories. But when it comes down to it, murdering innocent villagers is not that. It's not great. It's basically you could almost say the same if you wanted to about members of terrorist organizations now.
And their
conquests, and say, oh, they killed other enemies who disagreed. Wow, like they were so strong. And it's like, nah, they're just dicks.
Yeah,
it's kind of like pirates, I guess. Pirates and how they've been Disneyfied. Like when actually they pillaged and roved and killed innocent people and stole things, and now they're just, you know,
fun.
They're fun.
Fun lads, yeah.
And it's they like rum.
History's only problem is that it's
pirates' life.
It's written by the winners, and therefore it's easy to root for the winners. I mean, circumstantially, contextually, she was in a really tough spot. A woman in harsh medieval times.
Oh, okay.
Whose husband had just been murdered by some people who were supposed to be her subjects. Mm. So, yeah, I can kind of see where she was coming from.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah.
Kill them, though, the people that killed your husband, fine. Bit of retaliation, revenge. Don't just destroy whole villages and communities.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Not cool.
Don't kill the cattle. Trying to assume she did.
Probably.
One more. I thought this comment was quite interesting. This was on our 10 weirdest music conspiracies with our collab with Scary Mysteries.
Yeah, that was a great video. Thanks.
So Joseph Fuller, who comments on our videos quite a lot, actually, and it's much appreciated.
Yeah.
He says, I think that a lot of these conspiracy theories stem from a fundamental lack of basic knowledge and fear, kind of like how small children might look into the dark and know that there is something there, and even then claim to see the offending presence. However, when the lights are turned on, the childish imaginings are exposed to be naught but ephemeral delusions.
Wow.
Which is a great comment. But very eloquently put. What do you think about that?
In terms of the music conspiracies in particular?
I guess it kind of applies to... Do you think conspiracies are... A lot of it is down to a lack of understanding of that topic? Why people believe in certain conspiracies?
Maybe. I mean, I think as we've spoken before, there are definite groups of conspiracies. And in the music conspiracies, one in particular, the framing of that was weird music conspiracies.
Yes.
So it's ones that are going to be outlandish and ones that aren't necessarily the most believable. Some are. There were a range of theories.
Yeah, there were a couple in there that might have something to them.
But then you look at governmental scandals, which you could class as conspiracies because the truth is hidden, and you're looking at kind of the conspiracy, if in inverted commas, in a totally different lens, aren't you? It's completely different. So I agree to a point, especially when you're talking about proper outlandish conspiracies. People maybe want to believe more than looking at the facts. But I think there are enough conspiracies out there, what you class as conspiracies, that actually turn out to be true. We can make dozens of videos on conspiracies that turned out to be true.
Yeah.
So I think you've always got to question that common narrative, which is true. Kind of make sure you have more than just a basic knowledge. Make sure you dig a little bit deeper, and then make your own mind up.
Yeah. It's a very strong and, like you say, eloquently put a view on conspiracies, and certainly one that a lot of people take, which is to approach with true skepticism and say that ignorance is at the root of a lot of these problems. But I think, just on a technical level, every single conspiracy theory starts with a lack of knowledge, right? Because people are questioning.
Yeah, that's very true.
You don't ask a question if you already know the answer.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a lack of knowledge, because it's not the fault of the person asking the questions always. It's because maybe they've only been dealt a certain amount of knowledge.
Exactly.
So if you're thinking about way back when the Area 51 was denied by the government, but there was a partial knowledge of perhaps what was going on there, or perhaps that it even existed. And so a conspiracy results from that. And then we look at however many years later, actually, it's proven to be true.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with you that I think there's different bands of conspiracies. Like what you compare something like Area 51 and people, the conspiracy that it like existed, and then that turned out to be true. But like you compare that with the more outlandish ones.
The moon's a hologram.
It's kind of like, I mean... I think part of it is willful ignorance as well. So people can ask the question, but when the facts don't give them the answer that they don't want, then they don't accept the results of that answer and carry on, because they want to believe the moon is a hologram, so they carry on believing it despite what the answers to the questions they're asking are telling them. It's like, have either of you seen the new Flat Earth documentary on Netflix? Behind the curtain.
You've never mentioned this before.
I've never mentioned it before.
Go on, speak about it.
No, it's really good. but the Flat Earthers in that. Well, it's interesting because they approach it from a scientific angle. Mm. So as if they want to use scientific methodology to prove that the Earth is flat. Mm. But when they carry out these experiments and they, you know, seem to show that the Earth is actually curved, they just kind of write it off and try to explain the experiment in a different way. As opposed to accepting the results of that experiment. So I think, partially willful ignorance. I've kind of gone off what the original point was. No. But
this is why these comments are great. People at home think about things in a fantastic way, and it's great to hear your views expressed like this. And it makes us think all the time. And hopefully we make you think too.
So keep your comments coming in. We love them. And we go through them and think about them quite a lot.
We do.
Even the ones that are like, what are you saying, you idiots? We even think about those.
As in, that's what they're telling us. That's not what we think about those people. That's what they're saying.
I hope I made that clear.
Just in case, pointing at us,
pointing the finger at us. What are you talking about, you idiots?
We've been called all kinds
of
things.
Which does happen.
That's pretty, there are much worse comments than that.
I was being quite tame with that. But.
Yeah, that's pretty tame.
You've got a news item for us, haven't you, Alex?
I do. Yes.
What's it about?
So, this is involving Facebook, and it's in response to the recent shooting in New Zealand.
It's
about the live streaming and Facebook with live streaming.
Were people live streaming that?
The person who carried it out live streamed the attack.
It was being distributed widely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was distributed widely on Facebook. Basically, the news story is that a New Zealand privacy commissioner made a statement saying, his name's John Edwards, and he basically made a statement about Facebook saying that Facebook cannot be trusted. They are morally bankrupt, pathological liars who enable genocide, facilitate foreign undermining of democratic institutions. And it's a long statement. So he says, he says a bunch of
that's
things.
That's strong.
But that's a very strong statement. He says, they allow the live streaming of suicides, rapes, and murders, continue to host and publish the mosque attack video, allow advertisers to target Jew haters and other hateful market segments, and refuse to accept any responsibility for any content or harm. They, # don't give a zuck, which is a great hashtag.
That's a good hashtag.
So, that's kind of the premise, and it touches on Facebook's responsibility, because a lot of the kind of questions following this mosque attack aimed at Facebook has been should you stop live stream, like allowing live streaming, or delay it in some way to until you can make an AI.
Alex, we've just been asked to do live streaming.
Exactly. Well, but this is kind
ridiculous.
Of it.
That's crazy, in response to that.
I guess the question is how much responsibility falls on Facebook with these kind of things. Mm. And a lot of people are taking it out on them, just like that statement that he says that Facebook continues to publish the mosque attack shooting, but Facebook doesn't publish anything.
No.
It's users, it's individuals publishing it. But then what's the responsibility of Facebook to remove that instantly, like instantaneously, and is that even feasible?
They're a platform rather than a publisher, but
exactly.
But they're facilitating it, and yes, of course, they have a responsibility to make sure that the hateful content is taken down to a certain extent. But if you're going to have these services, there's no way that you can police everything, especially after an event like that. You can have moderators going through and taking it down as soon as possible. But after that, there's no more that you can do other than making sure that you have a team of dedicated people who are going through and making sure that this gets taken down and having the support for those people, because they obviously steal this horrendous shit constantly.
No, I agree with that. And there are so many problems with his statement. The main problem being that there's many facets to the things he's just listed, and the responsibility of Facebook is completely different depending on what he's saying. For instance, he understands how live streams work, right?
You'd hope so.
The very definition of a live stream means that you cannot possibly regulate it.
Mm.
Unless you've planned it thoroughly in advance, like most TV stations do when they have a live broadcast show. But then it's not a live stream. It's a completely different thing. So
that's the thing. You can't police content until it's actually happened.
Exactly. So I agree with Martin that Facebook has no responsibility, really, for the content of the live streams. What they can do is retroactively look at it and say, right, this is harmful. We'll take it down as soon as we possibly can. But then, there's all kinds of questions about how good AI programs are at identifying those kind of things, particularly when it comes to the resolution of live stream footage from a phone. I mean, you can't clearly identify a gun in a dark room, for instance, if you were in a nightclub or something. How could they tell? Then, of course, when it comes to the advertising, though, that is something that Facebook can be and is entirely responsible for. They choose to accept customers from all walks of life.
Yeah.
They can definitely vet who advertises on Facebook.
Yeah, for sure.
I would, to a certain extent, I would sympathize if Facebook said, we're such a massive organization with a huge international presence that we can't easily vet everybody. But at some point, advertisers are applying to Facebook.
Mm.
And there's an easy barrier where Facebook can say, no, we're not going to let you through the gates. And that's entirely Facebook's responsibility when it comes to fake news and racist propaganda and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, when it comes to live streams, Facebook, it's not a live stream if they have to delay it long enough for them to analyze it and say this is harmful.
But then, so I guess an argument people have been making is that if they can't do that, then should they stop live streams altogether? If this is going to become a platform for terrorists to, broadcast what they do and get attention, which is what they crave, should we stop live streams altogether then?
I don't know what you guys think, but I hate this kind of absolutist attitude towards problems.
I do as well, yeah.
I mean, I'm in favour, for the record, of the gun control laws we have in this country, but there's no doubt that when they were first introduced in the late 1990s, they were excessive. I know many people who are antiquarians. They collect antiques, including antique guns, and they were forced and had to fight to protect antique weapons, which were no longer functional, to stop them being destroyed in this country. We had a massive overreaction when it came to the Dunblane massacre in terms of gun control in this country. But now we have a much more sensible system where people are licensed and antique guns are recognized for what they are, which is mostly useless, harmless, and of historical value, and therefore worth preserving. And that's okay. But as soon as you get into this situation, like, I'll just outright ban something. It's like knives, for instance. Knife crime is becoming a growing problem in this country. You can't just ban knives. People use them in the kitchen all the time.
What are they doing? What have they done? They've made it so you can't buy single knives. You have to go and buy a pack of 12. Oh, great. We're just on the gang then.
Yeah. exactly. Every time.
There's not much you can, what can you do?
If people in prisons can make knives out of shivs, people are going to find sharp objects to stab each other with if they want to.
If they want to,
you can't police that.
Yeah. I think to a certain extent, you can sensibly police something, and I'm sure there is something that Facebook could do. But unless Facebook starts vetting every single one of its users and saying you cannot use this platform and the services it provides, then I don't think they can do much about extremists putting extremist content on there. That raises another problem then. I don't want Facebook to be vetting every single one of its users. I already have problems with the amount of stuff data Facebook collects and analyzes about me. I don't want you to then start studying me and saying your values do not align with ours. On occasion, I'm sure I've, posted something that, is politically charged.
Yeah, exactly.
And they would say,
you know how the algorithms work as well. It can definitely miscategorize something you've posted.
Any key word, can provoke it.
Maybe there could be a system where of course people can share your live stream, can't they? And that's the issue, is that you have the live stream, it gets shared and shared and shared and shared, and it blows up into everyone having the embedded player of the live stream on wherever, Twitter, on wherever. And that, I think that's one of the issues. So maybe it could be something like, if you're a user, you have to have done 20 live streams previously before yours can be widely shared So there's a limit on the amount of times it can be shared or something like that. Something, maybe something like that.
It can be shared five times.
That's not a bad idea, maybe something like that. Yeah. So it can't have this kind of wildfire, spreading wildfire. Yeah. I know people can, there are ways around it, but it could at least put some kind of blocker in place.
Yeah. Apparently Mark Zuckerberg said that the problem in this case was that the attacker posted that he was going to do this to like an online forum or something. Mm. And so most of the initial views were from people like outside of Facebook who are watching it and also making copies of the videos to then distribute to make it widespread.
But again, I mean, I'm glad the live stream is there because that's pretty good hard evidence for the police.
I mean, that's very true as well.
I don't think they really...
If criminals are going to be dumb enough to use those kind of tools to incriminate themselves, then go ahead. It's like when there was that robber a couple of years ago who announced what he was doing on, I think it was Facebook, or was it Twitter, and the police came around and arrested him before he did it. Cause it's just like, he posted it on social media.
That's true.
There's a silver lining to every cloud. You could argue he was encouraged by the live stream to call those people, or you could just say he was going to do it anyway and happened to provide hard evidence against himself. You know?
The only thing is what effect it has on others as a result.
I mean, that's
in terms
a good
of others
question,
being influenced by it, or on the flip side, causing a bit of a power struggle between an us and them. That's what you don't want to happen as a result of people being exposed to that kind of content. Yeah. The other thing I would say was that this, what was he, a commissioner? Privacy commissioner. He's from New Zealand. He wants something that's going to be hard hitting and popular with the people.
Yeah, good point.
He wants something that seems almost. Mm. Very clear cut, finalized. He can't go back to the New Zealand public and say, well, it's a complicated topic. You know, he has to go back and say, Facebook, they're making so many mistakes, we need an overhaul. Because how many people died? I mean, he's got to be used tough rhetoric for sure.
Good point.
So it could be that the actual report is much more, maybe not balanced as such, but a little bit more
nuanced.
That's the word for it. Nuanced.
I think that's what shocked me with this news article in particular is just how misinformed it seemed for like a government representative to have of how Facebook actually works.
Yeah,
like him saying that Facebook continues to publish things. It doesn't publish it. It's the users that publish it. He also says that. He's asked Facebook directly, and Zuckerberg won't tell him how many suicides are live streamed, how many murders, and how many sexual assaults. And I just wonder, like, there's like billions of live streams or millions of live streams. I don't know if that's a figure that they'd even have.
Yeah, just kind of look in the insights tab.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that. You could have an estimate of how many, the people that review content and take it down.
Yeah.
Like, how many of the? I don't know if they probably do categorize it,
and they do. They do have that figure, which he's Mark Zuckerberg said. He said that on terrorist content, we removed 14.3 million pieces of terrorist content in the first three quarters of 2018. 99.5% of this content we surfaced and removed ourselves before any user had flagged it to us. So, I mean, really, like,
wow, they're watching.
Well, they're watching.
Yeah,
which is another issue entirely, but.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so complex. I mean, his statement, there's all kinds of wrongs, like he just pointed out with his statement. And I think Martin's right. It's a very heavily, deliberately politicized statement that might not actually represent the report or his own personal views. Although it sounds like he does possibly misunderstand how Facebook works.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Or he's trying to speak in kind of layman's terms to...
Yeah.
And if you're going into technicalities about who actually publishes it, whether it's the user or Facebook, it's easier just to point the finger at Facebook.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you get into a kind of... a blame game, wouldn't you?
It's,
I don't know.
See, it's always complex. It's why we keep having this debate again and again and again about how much government has responsibility, how much individuals have responsibility, and how much corporations have a responsibility. But it's like aspartame in Coke.
Yes.
Theory is that it might cause cancer. If they can prove it causes cancer, then yes, remove it because that is a carcinogen.
It's actually, a Diet Coke, just for those out there.
Yeah, sorry. It's going to harm you.
Mm.
You know, remove that. But don't ban Diet Coke. And I think
you're coming from.
You see where I'm coming from? And I think the live streams are aspartame for Facebook. It's like, it until you prove it conclusively that it's a problem for everybody, you've got to allow it.
Yeah.
You know?
If you can prove that to live streaming on Facebook has like caused a rise in terrorism or something, then fine. Yeah.
There's also the worry, there's also an interesting about point. People seeing this, especially younger people, seeing this kind of content. Like that, it's not just about harboring and developing terrorists, is it? It's, there's a wider issue of having a really, really horrible content just freely available for people to share, and then it appears on other people's timelines who don't want to see it.
Mm. This is true. But can they just disable the autoplay function? You know, when you're scrolling down the Facebook homepage and videos autoplay, wouldn't that solve that problem?
I mean, that's the thing as well. Like we're saying, it sounds like we're defending Facebook a lot here, but there are lots of things that Facebook does which I don't like. I've actually deactivated my account now. Just saying. But the autoplay. I don't like that, and Facebook's done it because people watch it and then they get ad revenue and.
Yeah. Oh, that irritates the heck out of me, the autoplay. Mm. And now there might be a serious social argument for not doing it.
Yeah. But it seems very simplistic to say ban live streaming, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we're all agreed on that, for sure.
Yeah. Sorry, I went and turned to a bit of a rant.
No, it was good. I liked it. Donuts. So now I'm just hungry.
Shall we move on to a quiz?
Definitely.
Goodness, I'm against the champion. Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Still undefeated. My
Indeed.
Word.
Indeed.
What are we, fourth month of the year? Not a single defeat yet.
I'm going to go the whole year.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Right, gentlemen, play your buzzers. Martin?
I declare bankruptcy!
The Office US.
And Alex?
In honor of its return this week, which I'm pretty hyped for. There you go.
Oh, nice. That's it. Just play the whole thing every time.
big Game of Thrones fan?
Oh, big time. I'm Robin? doing a rewatch at the moment.
I need to catch up.
I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
Who do you think's going to be on the Iron Throne, Alex?
Nobody. Spoilers. Nobody. I don't think anyone's going to be. I think that's the whole point of the show.
Iron Throne is going to melt.
Exactly, yeah.
It's going to drift out to sea.
Anyway, that's my prediction. No one will sit on the Iron Throne.
Okay. Well, that was my first question, and you were wrong, Alex. So, 1-0 to Martin. As always, 10 questions with a bonus question. And let's start. General knowledge. Okay. So, nothing too demanding, I hope.
Cool.
Okay, question number one. Fingers on buzzers. Where in the world would you expect to find a car with the vehicle registration code V? Yes, Martin.
Venezuela.
No.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's a good guess.
Good guess, though, yeah.
V.
Something with V.
V.
Is it Vietnam?
No.
Oh. What?
I'll give you a clue.
Doesn't begin with V.
It is a state, but you wouldn't necessarily think of it as a country.
Vatican City.
It is the Vatican City. Well done, Martin.
Oh, no.
1-0, good start.
1-0 to Martin. Question two. Think back to your childhoods, gentlemen, because in which children's book did a pig called Wilbur and a spider called Charlotte appear?
Oh.
I actually don't know who was faster there. I give you both a guess, but I won't tell you who's right. So, Alex?
Charlotte's Web. Charlotte's Web as well.
Okay.
We need to the countdown thing. compare answers.
You are both correct.
Hooray!
Give me the author.
It is... what's his face?
Oh, I don't know.
Charlotte Webb.
No. E.B. White.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll give you both a point for that. So that's 2-1 to Martin.
Okay.
Question 3. How many sides has a heptadecagon? Crikey, mate.
That's almost impossible to know.
I think Martin may have.
What? Ridiculous. No, go on. Because I don't know, actually.
70.
No.
Is it 17?
It is 17. Well done, Alex.
One or the other. Oh. Yeah.
Two all.
Okay.
70 sides. That's mad. Yeah, Why does that even have a name?
70-sided coin. Haven't you got one?
There's so many sides. It's almost round.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? It would be, actually. Yeah, pretty much.
Question four. What was the name of the character played by John Travolta in the film Pulp Fiction?
What's his name?
Oh.
Yes, Alex.
Gotta get now. Three, two.
Well, three. No, hang on. Vincent Vega.
Oh, it is. It is Vincent Vega.
Damn.
Amazing. I knew it was something like that.
Oh, is that Vince? Is that 3-2 then? 3-2 to Alex.
3-2. Yes.
I'm back in the game.
Is that even possible? Oh, yeah, because you drew. That's why I'm confused. Yeah. 3-2. Alex is really back in the game. That's impressive. Okay, question 5. James Bond fans, everyone? Yeah.
If we're talking about the recent ones, then sure. But not the most recent ones. I haven't seen that one.
Well, then.
So, no.
If you like Roger Moore, you might be able to tell me this. Okay. What was the name of the first James Bond film to feature Roger Moore?
Live and Let Die?
It was Live and Let Die in 1973. Well done, Martin. It is 3-3. I'm halfway there. It's getting tense. Question 6. Suncrisp, Golden Russet, and Braeburn are all varieties. Martin was first.
They're apples.
They are apples. It's 4-3 to Martin.
Don't like this.
It's close.
Apples, come on. We're a conspiracies podcast.
Question 7, I think.
Yes.
Yes, I'm so confused now. In which country would you find the coastal resort of Lara Beach? Alex.
In which country?
Yeah.
United States?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Spain?
No, but it is in Europe, kind of.
It is in Europe, kind of.
Yeah. I'll give you another guess.
What kind of?
Turkey?
It is Turkey.
Yes!
Yeah, well done. Oh.
Whereabouts in Turkey?
The coast. I don't know. North, south, east, west. Probably not.
Anyone
west.
I think of that people go to is the Sharm el Sheikh.
That's Egypt, isn't it?
It's Egypt?
Yeah.
Forget that. we'll cut that out. Please continue.
I'm so confused.
I mean, it's probably Egypt. It would be like on the.
So that was question 7.
It'd be on the west coast.
Can't be 4-4.
What's the score?
4-4, I think.
Yes, yeah, 4-4. Yeah. 4-4.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's question 7 though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because I drew.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we're on question 8. This is a tricky one. Okay. You have to really think about this one. This is a harsh question, but I included it because it's just so fun.
Okay.
Think in terms of anagrams.
Okay.
And the word allergy, A-L-L-E-R-G-Y, can be rearranged to form 3 other 7-letter
words.
Okay,
I've got one.
Yep.
I'm terrible at countdown.
Okay, whoever gets the most gets the point. Yeah.
Gallery.
Gallery is one of them, yeah.
I can't do these.
Whoever gets the most.
These questions.
So one's the most. gallery.
I'll give you a few seconds to think about. I'll give you clues to the other two words.
I don't want to do better with things written down.
Yeah, well, we need a countdown sheet. This is, I can't do this. How are we supposed to do this?
Legally.
Boom.
No.
Ooh, you're so close, but that's not the word.
It's not, I need another L for that.
Need another L, but you're really close. Can you, based on what I just told him, can you figure out what a word might be? Oh, man. Okay. I'll give you one clue for another word, and then I'll just give you the third. So for the second word, if you were a monarch, you would do everything in this fashion.
Regally.
Well, I mean, I
you did
I
buzz. Buzzed you did buzz, yeah.
We didn't have to buzz.
Regally.
Do we have to buzz? I thought, okay.
I mean, that was, I think Alex buzzed in, so yeah, he gets that one. So can you give me the third word, which I'll give you a clue. It's size matters for this word.
Size matters.
Yeah.
What was the original word?
Allergy. A-L-L-E-R-G-Y.
Largely.
It is that, isn't
largely.
It? It is, we didn't buzz, but yeah. It's largely.
Yeah. Largely.
I don't think I can give
Martin
you that one.
I've got three.
Yeah. He has got three. Yeah, Martin wins, sorry, wins that Martin. Point. That's fine. Cool, so we're on into question 9, and the score is 5-4 to Martin.
It's okay. It's fine. I'm dropping behind exciting. For a more dramatic victory.
Very exciting. Okay. The logo for which popular app consists of a green background and a white telephone in a white speech bubble?
It's not. I mean,
WhatsApp.
It is WhatsApp. Did your buzzer not work?
It didn't. It just spinning.
That's a shame.
It's a shame.
Well, we're on to question 10, and it is 5-all. It's a tight one. Oh my goodness.
That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's a tight one. It's fine. You'll get both of you will be able to get this one. Make sure, is your buzzer going to work, Martin? You will be all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 10. Which film actor is commonly known as the Muscles from Brussels?
What do we do now? Because we both did it at the exact same time there. You can't choose one out of the other.
You got a bonus. Did you just do the bonus question?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, give me your answers and I'll see if either of you are right.
One, two, three. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Wait, what did you say? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. But did you say that first time?
Yeah. I was making sure that you were
going to
say
Yeah, JCVD, you got it right. Okay. It's definitely JCVD.
JCVD.
Okay, fine. Bonus question. Oh, this is tight. 5-all. And this is one that I think you both will be able to get. And it's actually not irrelevant to what you've brought up. How many episodes of the UK version of The Office were there?
Are we talking about including Christmas specials?
Yes.
Wait, he's counting. That's 14. Not
fair. He's allowed to count.
So he's got the point then? He's got the point.
Yeah. This 14
is,
episodes.
This is, I'm sorry, this is bullshit. I'm done. I'm out.
I quit. I'm done. I'm sorry. I would have won earlier if it hadn't been for my buzzer.
I'm walking out.
Well, we've lost Alex. And that's the end of this week's podcast.
Two sixes and two Christmas specials.
It was two series of six episodes and two Christmas specials, yeah.
I don't want anyone to say I'm a sore loser, so I came back.
You came back, well, I'm a sore loser. I'm sorry, that was... You two were both on point so specifically. The buzzers has never been so tight. That was incredible.
That was ridiculous.
I didn't realise there had been two Christmas specials in The Office.
What?
Part one and part two.
Yeah.
What I do realise here...
So actually it's 13 if we're counting.
Having a decent buzzer.
Interesting. Together.
Having a decent buzzer is... Yeah, yeah. So important.
If there's
a split second of gap at the beginning, you're done.
Yeah, I find that genuinely difficult to call. I'm sorry for anyone.
I think there were some that were bang on at the same time.
God. Well, Alex has been finally defeated by the closest margin you could possibly have, 6-5, with lots of nail biters I genuinely couldn't tell apart. So, well done, Martin.
Thank you.
And well done, Alex.
I hope you're happy with yourself, Martin.
Very happy.
There you go. No, I do feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
No pressure.
I feel good.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't feel like... I'm just going to stop talking now.
It's great. I love these post-match breakdowns. This is great.
Yeah.
So, man of the match is Martin.
Why do you have to say that? We know he's won. Let's move on. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. Well, hope you all enjoyed this at home as much as we enjoyed recording it for you. As always, thank you for all of your support, for listening, for your reviews, which are great, and for all our Patreon supporters. You're amazing. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Again, on the podcast format and on YouTube. Well, have a great Easter.
See you later, guys. See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.